Well, good morning. How's your week been? That's never a dull moment around here. I mean, it's just the way it goes. Sometimes it's exciting. Sometimes it's stressful, but never dull. We've been talking about being the body. We have looked at one another statements in the New Testament. Talk about love one another. Talk about forgive one another. Talk about serving one another. Today, what I thought I was going to talk about really kind of took a direction I didn't expect it to. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. I thought that we were going to talk today about teaching, instructing, directing. So I was expecting things like short statements like, oh, okay, teach one another, admonish one another, those kind of things, okay? Well, what I found was a whole lot more nuanced and a whole lot more, I guess I'll use the word rich, how about that? Took me in the direction instead of encouragement and direction. So today we're going to talk about kind of just being there for one another. Because a lot of times when you talk about encouragement, and direction, it's really about the ministry of presence more than it is anything else. However, there are nuances that I want to talk about. So today, when we talk about being the body, and again, the context for what we're talking about is, if we are going to uproot ourselves in the near future and be planted or transplanted to a place, whether it's familiar or not, there are going to be things that are going to cause us to change, and we need to make sure that we hold on to the things that are important, because we know the church isn't the building, the church is the people. Many of the people that we had with us when we were in Georgetown are the same. However, there are many that are not with us that were there when we were there originally, and we have grafted in people who have not ever been a part of us when we were in that context either. And so that's a part of kind of learning a new way, learning a new style. Make an analogy. Back when I was first a professor at Savannah State, I had no office. I had no email. I had very little actual true connection to anything or anybody, with the exception of me and my briefcase. I was a turtle. Anything that I needed as I moved from whenever I taught this class here and taught this class, I had to take everything with me because I had nowhere to go in the meantime. So everything lived in my briefcase. I was a turtle. Well, to some degree, at one point, this church, this body of people, we were kind of like a turtle. We had to gather, collect, and move. And then every Sunday we had to reestablish kind of where we were. So we had to carry and move, and we're going to have to do some of that same kind of thing again. And we need to make sure that we understand what the values are that we've got to uphold. That's why we're talking about these one another's, because these are the values that should be a part of who we are, but definitely as we change and move somewhere else, they've got to be the glue that keeps us together. So today we're going to talk about what I didn't expect to talk about when I thought about we were going to talk about teaching and directing and instructing. Instead, we're going to be talking about encouraging, because those are the things that are talked about in the New Testament. Anytime you see the word instruct or admonish, it was not just teach them how to do it right. It was more than that. So John, let's go to the first passage. So in Paul's letter to the Colossians, he said to them in 3:16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. So far, yeah, okay, teaching, knowing the truth, we're good. Okay, that's in line. But he says, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, this is where it went sideways for me. Through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Do you see why it sort of shocked me? It's not just that we're supposed to teach and correct, kind of what admonish is all about, okay? It's that we do it in a way I didn't expect. It's not doing what I'm doing. It's doing what we were just doing, if you look at it. The delivery method's what caught me by surprise. So what's the delivery method that you see there? We're supposed to teach and admonish through what? Okay, all right. So that's the first thing that caught me by surprise. Okay. What is it that's supposed to motivate that? What's behind it? Can you see what's behind it? What is? Okay. Gratitude. Yes, that is the message that we're communicating, but it comes from a heart of gratitude. I think a lot of times the reason why we don't do things is because we are not living in the land of gratitude. Now, worship ought to be filled with gratitude, don't you think? Because we're here, because we're acknowledging what God's doing, what He's done, what He can do, what He will do. We want to be a part of it. We're acknowledging who He is and what He's doing. So we come here to kind of put ourselves aside and to lift Him up. It's about gratitude. Not just singing theologically correct songs, but songs that focus on us expressing gratitude, right? Because there's a lot of policemen who want to say, oh, that song's not worth it because it's not theologically perfect. Okay? And that's not what we're talking about. Now, we don't want to sing songs that don't tell the truth, but they don't have to be theologically correct, because the problem is then we have to figure out who's the ones policing what is theologically correct. Because there are a lot of people that would like to volunteer that for you and tell you what that means. But this idea of gratitude, that should be something that we can all understand and get. Okay. That's the underlying purpose, motivation. So why do you think that it's important in this context that the songs we sing come from gratitude? If we're going to teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, why does that have to happen in this environment of gratitude? Yes. That makes sense. Russell.
What I was going to say, 99.99% of my prayer is thanks. Almost every prayer I make is thank you. felt my whole life like God just blessed me in everywhere possible. Now, I brought that up to say, that doesn't mean I haven't had bad times. That doesn't mean I might still be going through bad times. It doesn't mean that I'm living the life of Riley. But I've got enough sense, common sense, to know God has blessed me beyond reason. And for that, what a grateful heart, gratitude, it shows that I think it's kind of catchy, or it should be. Because if we're not thankful to Christ, how in the Son can we show others there's a difference? I don't believe in luck. Me, it's blessed.
To be grateful requires what? Okay. Requires humility, gratitude. Okay. Oh, okay. Now let's travel down that acknowledgement trip. Okay. So what can we do if we're going to pursue the idea of acknowledgement? What does that mean? If we're going to acknowledge, what does it require? Okay. So what you've done, what you just said in a subtle way, whether you realize it or not, is that if you're going to be grateful, it means that there is someone or something to be grateful for, and it is not me. If I come to worship with a heart that is full of gratitude, then I realize it is not me. I am not the center of the universe. I can't be grateful if I am the center of the universe, because I have nothing to be thankful for. So whenever we come, whenever Paul's talking about us being able to teach and correct one another in this environment of psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, the reality is that it's got to be anchored, rooted, grown in the environment of the fact that we are grateful for all that God's done, because that makes us teachable. We can receive. Now, do you find yourself remembering songs that you learned years ago, even when you don't know why you do that? Okay. Here's a weird thing for you. When I was 12 years old, I used to sit there at third base singing, "Oh Come All Ye Faithful." What does that got to do with baseball? No. But it was in my heart and my head. Okay. And that was before I knew God. That was before I accepted Christ, okay? And now, when I find myself in situations that I know cause me stress, I'm in my head, I'm singing the hymns that I learned when I was a kid. Now, sometimes I sing the songs that I've been singing the last 20 years. I do. But a lot of times, my wiring runs back to the things that I recall. And most of them are out of acknowledgement that I am not the center of the universe and that there is a God who is. So the idea of teaching one another in this environment, plus, don't y'all just, you remember music and song better than you remember all that stuff you learned in high school, or all that stuff you learned from when Dusty preached 20 years ago, or I preached last week or 2 weeks ago. I mean, you get the idea, right? The stuff that has the melody from the heart, you latch onto it. This makes a whole lot of sense. Well, I sing every once in a while. I sing every once. It can be. Yes, it can be. I'm going to make a crazy statement. I learn the most in this environment when I lose myself. That's hard for me to do. For whatever reason, I'm wired to be, bless you, to be in control of my emotions. I am wired to be very, I guess the word, circumspect about things, okay? I don't know why it is the way I am, through experiences, through genetics. I don't know. I don't understand. But, I mean, I like being silly. I love to make people laugh. But I am not a gregarious ha-ha-ha kind of guy. Just haven't ever been. But I love it whenever people find what I say interesting or funny. I love that, okay? Got to lose yourself. Lose yourself. And when I lose myself, I find that's when it just does seem to be connected to this idea of it's not about me, that it's about gratitude. And I am at that point more teachable and more receptive and retain more, okay? Not just facts and yes, we have to know the truth, but you know, until the truth is really truth for us, it's got to get to our hands and our feet and the way we live and what we do. That's what Jesus said, right? You love me if you obey what I said. John, let's go to the next slide. So here in Romans chapter 15, Paul's writing here. You have to understand, this is kind of near the end of this big, long letter that's more like a treatise, more like an epistle, a big sermon in words that's been written down, than it really kind of is a letter. It's got a lot of stuff. It's very theological in its content. He says near the end of that, he says, may God, as part of kind of a blessing, may God, who gives endurance and encouragement, give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. Let's just kind of pause right there. May the God who gives you endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. Endurance and encouragement. So that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't we do that when we teach and encourage and hold each other accountable? Isn't that what it's about? Endurance and encouragement. Endurance and encouragement. All these things are a lot more valuable than just saying, teach each other. So how does having a mind full of endurance and encouragement, a heart full of endurance and encouragement, help you to demonstrate and express those qualities to other people. That's a really strange question. I get it. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude. He's saying that Jesus had endurance and encouragement for us, right? That makes sense. Okay. Makes a lot of sense. So encouragement is kind of the word I want to camp out on for the rest of the time we've got. I have this, I don't know that I can find this necessarily in Scripture yet, but I'm going to look for it. But I have this sort of theory, I guess you call it theory, this conviction, there you go, that I want you to help me test. You guys have heard of the five love languages. Gary Chapman came up, you know, service, words of affirmation, gifts, I can't even remember all five of those. Those are the three that I can remember, okay? I have the sneaking suspicion that all of us have an encouragement language that may be a lot like the love language, to where we receive encouragement in certain ways more readily than others, generally, that we hear it better. It's magnified in our hearts when we receive encouragement from that language that speaks to us. It may be reflective of, you know, the idea of a love language. It may be the very same thing. I don't know. Yeah. But the purpose of all of this, just like the reason why we would instruct or admonish one another in the faith, is this idea that amongst enduring and having hope and then encouraging one another, that we all, like it says here in verse 6, with one mind and one voice may glorify God and Jesus. Is that not what we do when we teach? We are making it clear. We are admonishing. We are saying this is what our God has said. We are saying it is worth us conforming our lives to this image, this way of living. And that we are to have this shared. And the only way that that happens is through, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you can glorify God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the next passage, John. 1 Thessalonians. So here, Paul writes to the Thessalonian church, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So the good news is, as he was writing to this group of believers, they were doing this, but he wanted them to keep doing it. There's no clock. It's not Jeopardy. The music's not playing. And whenever the music's over, we can stop. Okay? This is nonstop. This is a way of life. Encourage one another, build one another up. Is that not what we do when we teach and correct? We encourage as part of the mix. I've got a couple of questions for you. Has anybody got anything that you just need to say? Okay. Let me ask a couple questions then. How have people in this congregation encouraged you? Which is why I started what we're doing together today with two words. Being there. Okay. Okay, this is just me. Okay, you've heard me say this before. This is why I struggle with the culture that says, I just want to hear the best teacher that I can. So I'm going to stay at home on Sunday morning and watch XYZ preacher because he is the best teacher. Doing that, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it is not the best thing. Because it removes relationship from the equation, which is anything that we have talked about this morning up here. It was all about relationship. We're sharing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We're sharing those. It's not the content. It's the fact that we are sharing. We understand the perseverance or the endurance that... Do you all see? You can't remove the relationship from the body and expect it to be what God wants it to be. This is not just content to consume. This is a relationship to share. So whenever we talk about teaching, instructing, admonishing, and doing it through all these delivery methods, whether it's just being there, whether it's sharing from our heart, it's about being in relationship. So how have you contributed to build up other people in this congregation? Yeah, I can look at each one of you and I can give you an answer, okay? But I want you to have that answer, okay? I want you to know and have that confidence. Yeah, I'm doing what I need. I'm contributing by doing this. Okay, I'm serving this way. How are you doing this for other people? Because we're all here to do it for one another. Jesus said, they'll know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Well, that love's going to be expressed in all these ways that we have talked about. We're going to serve one another. We're going to encourage one another. We're going to instruct one another. We're going to forgive one another. All these things we've been talking about. All these one another's. Why is it important that we continually do this?
going to happen again.
What is the most convincing translation of the Bible? The one you live. And we just forget that. There is nothing more powerful. Nothing more powerful. Now, does it always happen the way we want it to? No. But when we get to hear it, when we get to see it, a life that's been changed, been transformed, and the grace of God is highlighted, and God's power is highlighted, and then somebody says, you know, I saw your life. And your life is what encouraged me. Your life, your experience, and how you went through that is what taught me how to go through this. It's not about me. John, go to the next slide. Come to Hebrews chapter 3. You got a couple of passages in Hebrews you want to look at. First one's in chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. The writer to Hebrews said, "See to it then, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." So is it today? Tomorrow, will it be today? And the day after that, will it be today? Encouraging one another through the ministry of presence, through living the translation of the word in a way that glorifies God, through having gratitude, through perseverance, all this stuff, it's the glue of who we are. It's what helps us grow and helps us stay on track. Why is encouragement so important to you? You've heard of random acts of kindness? Well, we can add random acts of encouragement. Because I think that the reality is that there's things like that that happen all the time. And we can intentionally do them, or sometimes we just do them because we're full.
I don't remember all of them, but what I do remember is this. I think, for instance, I'm the kind of person that stepping lovely service, but I don't like to do it. Thank you.
there's a lot of different ways to encourage. Okay. One of the ways to encourage people is by telling them what we see in them that's of God. And what we see they could be when they submit to God, when they serve God, when they love the Lord, their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Ah, thank you, John. There you go. Words of affirmation, gifts, acts of service, quality time, and physical touch. There you go. There you go. So, you know, I just kind of have this thought that I think we receive encouragement in ways, maybe there's, you know, I don't know, but you get the idea that I'm saying. That there's, you know, if you try to encourage me by serving me, maybe I don't receive it as well as if I happen to be in a words of affirmation person. You tell me, hey, this made a difference to me because, you know, click, click, click. Okay. What parent doesn't love to hear their kids say, thank you because, or thank you, or I learned this from you. All right. I've got one other thing to say, and I'll try to, you know. So it's important that we encourage one another because why? What does it say here? Okay. Because it keeps each other, we keep each other on the track. We don't get deceived. We don't begin to believe that, if we don't take a shower in a week, we don't stink.
But in reality, encouragement is the fuel that
Yes. Condemnation, yes. Criticism and condemnation. Yes, I have to be extremely careful because I am a analytical person. Analytical people can really come across as being very critical. That's a hard, it is like I've stepped in that more times than I want to remember. Because when you ask me what I think, I'm not trying to be negative, I'm just being analytical. But to you, the perception is if I can say that many things, it's because it's not good. That makes sense? And anyway, it's just real hard. I've made that mistake way too many times. John, go ahead and flip that last slide. So Hebrews 10:24, you guys have seen this passage over and over again. We always use it to talk about why we need to come together on Sunday to worship. But the writer of Hebrews there said, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, and you get the rest. This is one of the reasons why I do believe that it's about relationship, not content. I'm sorry, you can listen to Charles Stanley for 20 years and you can miss the importance of encouragement and what real teaching is. Teaching is sharing a life that reflects the glory of God. Does this make sense? It is not having content to consume. So here's my last, where I want to end up. I don't know why this relates, but I'm going to share it anyway. Regina and I are binge watchers of TV these days. I never thought I would get there. Really, I really didn't. But now you can do that with, you know, digital TV and all that stuff. So, I mean, you know, the first show we ever watched was a show called Chuck. It was silly, fun Chuck. It was about a guy that happens into this crazy situation where he's got these glasses that then affect him and he can he becomes brilliant, and anyway, CIA gets involved, and it's just silly. He works in a place that's equivalent to a Best Buy, and it is a funny thing. Anyway, the last thing that we've been watching, I think Dane told us about this not too long, was the show Sherlock, which is a BBC. Okay, sure. Okay, we watched the last episode yesterday. Everything in that and it was the last two episodes were just psychedelic to me. I mean, they're just crazy. I was frustrated with part of it because I didn't like it, but in the end, I'm almost crying because the story, the story becomes full circle. And being flawed people who find grace in relationship. And so the last picture you see is Benedict Cumberbatch and who's the other guy? I forget. Martin Freeman. Running out of the police station once again to go save the day as Holmes and Watson in a contemporary setting. And how redemptive relationships can be even for the worst people. At least that's what it was saying to me. But it's a show that's worth watching. It'll take you probably 2 weeks if you really binge watch it to kind of come up for air here and there. But if you don't like really demented bad guys, don't watch that show. Yeah, it's not necessarily gory, but it is irritating at times because the bad guys seem to be getting. Yeah, you can't ever tell what's real in that show. Yeah. You can't tell who's lying to who or why they're lying, you know. And sometimes it's a lie that has a purpose, and sometimes it's a lie that doesn't have. Anyways, it's interesting. But I tell you that because it's about relationships, and it's about how relationships can bless us and change us. And whenever Jesus is at the center of that, there's a lot of power. So how do we teach? How do we instruct? It's by being there. It's by letting our lives be the most convincing translation of Scripture they can be. Anybody got a thought? All right. Anthony, would you close us?